Word of God speak, would you pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty, to be still and know that you're in this place.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Scripture and the Sense podcast, day 120. This podcast is based upon Nehemiah 8:8, where it says Ezra and the Levites read in the book in the law of God distinctly and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading of the Word of God. The aim of this podcast is that through the simple reading of the Word of God, the Holy Bible, and the giving of the sense of it, the understanding of it, the church would be revived and the world would be awakened. And we're reading Matthew chapter 28. Verse 1 reads, in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. What mere men can't move, heaven can move. What mere men can't move on earth, heaven can move it. Verse 3, his countenance was like lightning, and his raiment, his clothing, white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. They basically fainted. They didn't die, but they looked like they died. They were knocked out cold, so to speak. And the angel answered and said unto the women, thank God for the godly women of the church from the very beginning. Fear not ye, for when the men don't show up, down through Christian history, the women will be there. And that is how it is today, unfortunately, in many churches. There are more women in churches than men. So we thank God for the faithful, godly women. The angel answered and said unto the women, fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. And here are probably my favorite words in the Bible. Notice what the angel said in verse 6. He is not here. He is not here. Just very straightforward. Matter of fact, the angel said, he is not here. And I can just see in my mind's eye the angel looking like, what you looking for Jesus for? He told you he was not going to be here. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. I get so tickled by that passage in a good way. Okay, since you're here, the angel says, come see the place where the Lord lay. They took him on a tour.
Verse 7, and go quickly. Here's what I want you to do. Here's what God wants you to do. Go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail, H-A-I-L, all hail. And that's where the song comes from, the hymn comes from, all hail the power to Jesus' name, one of my favorite hymns. And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. Now when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city, and showed unto the chief priests all the things that were done. And when they were assembled with the elders, and had taken counsel, they gave large money, we would say today big money, unto the soldiers, so that they would lie, saying, say ye his disciples, tell this lie. Say ye his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. And there are some reasons why we all know that didn't happen. Number one, you must remember the disciples had forsaken Jesus. And so they didn't have the mind to go move a stone in front of the Romans. Not only that, the disciples were in hiding. And why would they jeopardize themselves to go move a stone in front of the Roman soldiers? Verse 14, and if this come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you. So they took the money and did as they were taught or told, and told. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. Then the eleven disciples, because Judas was gone. And by the way, next Easter, write this down. One of the messages that I want to preach is regarding Judas's role in Easter. So write that down. Verse 16, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Here are some of the last words of Jesus Christ and people normally hang on the last words of someone who is leaving them. Verse 19, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. Amen. Now, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Warren Wiersbe said, if anything proves the kingship of Jesus Christ, it is his resurrection from the dead. Amen, somebody. The final chapter in Matthew's gospel is a record of victory. And if you are not feeling that victory this morning, there's something wrong in your soul, in your spirit, in your heart, that you need to get right with God. Either if you are a Christian, you are in sin, or you have never been born again, because truly born again Christians rejoice in the victory of the Lord Jesus Christ via the resurrection. It is a thrilling fact, he said, that believers today share in that victory. And if you don't share in it or feel like you're sharing in it on Easter Sunday morning, then there's something wrong. Because especially on Easter Sunday morning, you should share in that victory as a born-again child of God. Notice the various stages in the experience of the believers with reference to his resurrection. First, the women who had lingered at the cross came early to the tomb, bringing spices that they might anoint his body. Again, thank God for the faithful women. When the men will forsake the church, thank God for those faithful women who have carried on without the men down through the years. Now, men should rise and do their job, but thank God for the women who lingered and who loved the Lord Jesus Christ the way they did, and who do so today. I know of a church right now, properly led by men, but nearly 80% to 85% of the people who attend faithfully and work in the church are women. And everybody ought to respect that and thank God for that. They thought he was dead, the women did. In fact, they wondered how they would move the huge stone that blocked the entrance to the tomb, but yet they appeared, they showed up. They were not in hiding like the disciples. And we have a whole lot of men in hiding today, afraid. Some of the bravest people in the world down through history, and we know it's true, have been women. And we thank God for those brave and strong and faith-filled women who got the job done and who get it done. It is remarkable that they did not believe in his resurrection. Wiersbe said, when he had taught this truth repeatedly, over and over again, we must never underestimate the importance of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then he goes on to say, the world believes that Jesus died, but the world does not believe that he arose from the dead. Therein lies our job to go and tell them the gospel. And without the resurrection, there is no gospel. Because a dead Savior cannot save anybody. Peter's message at Pentecost emphasized the resurrection. In fact, it is emphasized throughout the book of Acts. What is the significance of the resurrection? Number one, it proves that Jesus is God's Son. Jesus stated that he had authority to lay down his life and to take it up again. It verifies the truth of Scripture, Holy Scripture, both in the Old Testament and in the teaching of Jesus. His resurrection is clearly taught in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. If Jesus had not come out of the tomb, then these scriptures would not be true. It assures our own future resurrection, does it not? Because Jesus died and rose again, we shall one day be raised to be like him. In fact, the entire structure of the Christian faith rests on the foundation of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. If we do away with his resurrection, we have no hope, and we have no gospel, we have no good news. It is the proof of a future judgment as well, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world, that includes you and me, in righteousness by that man who he hath ordained. His name is Jesus Christ, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. Next, it is the basis for Christ's heavenly priesthood, because he lives by the power of an endless life. He is able to save us to the uttermost. Somebody ought to say amen. He lives to intercede for us. It gives power for Christian living. As one preacher said the other night, no matter what you're going through, no matter what the situation is, no matter if you're under the circumstances or over the circumstances or in the circumstances, always remember the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. For he has overcome. He is victorious, and if you're saved, if you're his child, you are victorious. If you would accept it. We cannot live for God by our own strength. It is only as his resurrection power works in and through us that we can do his will and glorify his name. And anybody who's serving God today, any bishop, any evangelist, any teacher, any servant of the Lord in the church knows this to be true. It is not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. And Jesus Christ is the Lord. Also, it assures our future inheritance, because we have a living hope. And may God help you if you don't have it. We can experience hopeful living. If you have hope through Christ, you are all right and you will be all right. For a dead hope grows weaker and weaker before it eventually dies. And so many people today, hope has died. But through the resurrection of Christ, you can keep hope alive. But because Jesus Christ is alive, we have a glorious future. Whenever God's people gather on the Lord's Day, they bear witness that Jesus is alive and well, and that the church has received spiritual blessings. When the followers of the Lord gathered that first Lord's Day, they were discouraged and defeated. But they learned later to be victorious and excited about what Jesus had done. And they passed that legacy down to us. And so every born-again child of God, every blood-washed Christian ought to be victorious today, ought to be rejoicing forevermore, praying without ceasing, and forever thankful. Amen, somebody.
So, dear friend, if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you want to get to know Him today, all you have to do is believe that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and you will be saved. For the Bible says in the book of Romans 10:9-13, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Pray and ask Him to come into your heart to save your soul today, and He will. Until next time, my beloved, please remember, the Word of God is the foundation to a successful life. May God bless you.
If you look at the hard left and how they treat law enforcement in the last 5 or 6